Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I exhort or encourage, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Now notice, our living a quiet and peaceable life is contingent upon our government leaders. He tells us that we're to pray for them so that we live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. In other words, there are those that are running for office, those that are in places of authority, that can cause it to become very difficult to live a godly life. And so there's a lot of things we'll never be able to get to and accomplish for God simply because we have to deal with all these things that are going on around us. But so to prevent that, he tells us what to do. He says, pray. Pray. Now you think, well, you know, if God wants to fix something, let him just fix it. If God just wants to stop people from, you know, being in office, just let him take care of it. Why do I have to pray? Because that's how things work. That's how God set it up. God has given us authority in the earth to do something about the things that take place in the world. And he doesn't just do things independently of us. In fact, he doesn't do things contrary to us. If people want something a certain way bad enough, God will give it to them, even if it's not good for them. And we need to understand that. Now, we have an example of that over in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The people of Israel were crying out for a king. They wanted a monarchy. At that time, up to that time, they were a theocracy. They were ruled by God through these judges that God raised up, these prophets that he had raised up in the land. So you have these prophets that God's using, and here at this time in 1 Samuel chapter 8, there's the prophet Samuel. In his day, the people rose up and they said, "We don't want to do it this way anymore. We want to be like all the other nations. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king to rule over us." That's what they said. "We want a king to rule over us." And so they were crying out to Samuel to give them a king. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, the Lord spoke to Samuel because he was very upset about this. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them." See, it really wasn't about Samuel or a king, some other man. It wasn't about rejecting Samuel and electing another man. It was about rejecting the Lord and what he wanted and wanting what they wanted, putting what they wanted above what he wanted. And so God brings that out to Samuel. He comforts Samuel. He says, "Samuel, it's not about you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." Because Samuel was in the place of representing God to the people. So notice, God gave them, the people of Israel, he gave them exactly what they wanted. He went on to tell them, go ahead and anoint him a king. And he went and helped Samuel go find a king for him. And he gave him a king. And through Samuel, he warned the people. He said, now this is how it's going to turn out for you. You know, now you wanted a king, and this is what he's going to demand of you in the days ahead. But they said, that doesn't matter. That's what we want. And that's exactly what they got. That's exactly what they got. So you see, nations get exactly what they want. I was thinking about the children of Israel and how for 400 years they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves to the Egyptians. Think about that. 400 years. Slaves to the Egyptians. Victims of tyranny for 400 years. You think, wow, how did that happen? Well, at the end of those 400 years, we know they cried out, and they cried out to God, and God heard their cries, and he sent them a deliverer. He raised up somebody. Again, God used somebody to step in and rescue them. God didn't just do everything from heaven independently of people. He got a hold of somebody that he could use to go in there and change things. So he raised up Moses. And so the children of Israel, we know the story. They were led out of Egypt supernaturally, this great deliverance. And they come out there in the wilderness. And then the Bible says, you get over into Numbers 14, and they ran into some trials and tests. And the Bible says in verse 4, they cried out and said, let us select, or we could say elect, a leader to return to Egypt. That's what they said. Let us select, or we could say elect, a leader to return to Egypt. So you wonder, you think, now, you know, why were these people, why did they have this government ruling over them for 400 years? Why did they have these wicked leaders dominating their lives? Why was that allowed to happen? Because it's exactly what they wanted. It's exactly what they wanted. You think, who would want that? Crazy people. I don't know. That's exactly, we see it right here. They were constantly murmuring and complaining about leaving Egypt. There was one point they're out in the wilderness, and they thought, all we have is this manna to eat. You know, God was providing this thing called manna out there in the wilderness for them. And they said, we remember the cucumbers and the watermelons and the leeks and the onions and all these things that we had, all the fish and all the great food we had back in Egypt. See, where were their hearts? It was back in Egypt, under that government that oppressed them. But yet, that's what they had become comfortable with, and that's what they wanted to return to. And so, had they not perished in the wilderness, that's exactly where they would have ended up back at. And of course, years later, after Moses was gone and Joshua was gone, that's exactly what they ended up having ruling over them again. These kings, they wanted a king, they got a king, and they got tyranny ruling over them again. So you see, God will give a people exactly what they're crying out for. That's what he'll give them. So we got to make sure that our cry is louder than the cry of those that don't know any better, that would cry out for wicked leaders, that would cry out and demand ungodliness and crooked, oppressive people to rule over them. People that'll make them slaves. People that'll plunder them of their prosperity. People that'll lead them into bondage. There's so many people walking in darkness, they don't know which way to turn. And the blind will always elect a blind leader to help lead them into a ditch, is what Jesus said. So we have eyes wide open. You and I are in the light. You and I can see. And we should understand what's going on, and we need to raise our voice before God. And friend, I got good news for you. We got access right into his very throne room. So he can hear us first, and we can just drown out all this noise back here down, among the other citizens of the nation that don't know any better. We can get before God and we can get right in his ear and we can talk to him and we can have exactly what we ask for. That's the power we have through prayer. Jesus gave us power in prayer because he gave us access right into the very throne room of God, right into the very presence of God, to speak to God face to face. Somebody say, I got access. Right into the throne of God. Yeah. God hears me. That's right. And every prayer counts in the throne room of heaven. Every prayer counts in the throne of heaven. Glory be to God. Nothing's to be discarded. Nothing's to be looked upon as unimportant. If we come in the name of Jesus, what we ask is important to God. And so we need to be asking, Lord, help our leaders. Guide our leaders to lead us in a way that would cause us to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. We need reverent leaders. We need God-fearing leaders. Lord, thank you for God-fearing leaders. Thank you for God-fearing leaders. We need to ask them for it, thank them for it. Amen? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Powerful, powerful scripture. Look at that. The king's heart. Who's that? That's a government leader. Government leaders, their hearts are in the hand of the Lord. And he can turn it. Somebody say, he can turn it. Can he turn it? Can he turn hearts? He can turn it. He can turn the hearts of leaders. He can do it. He can do it. But how does he do it? He does it through us. Through our praying. God does what he does through his people. If his people will stand before him and pray. Otherwise, he'll just do what everybody else wants him to do. And he'll turn the hearts in the direction that they want it to go. Who's got that voice to God to help guide his hand? Oh, yeah, yeah. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The Lord turns it, but who guides God's hand? Oh, we don't guide God's hand. Well, then why did he tell you to pray? Why did he tell you to pray for those in authority that it might turn out a certain way? That it might turn out the way God wants it? Because we know how God wants it. He wants us to live quiet, peaceful lives in all godliness and reverence. Is that how he wants us to live our life? How does that happen? We pray. Then what happens? He takes the heart of the governmental leaders that are in his hand and he turns it where he or we wish, because he and we are one. I said, he and we are one. We are the body of Christ. We are God's body in the earth, and he works through us. Remember over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's where God's throne is, right? God's throne is in heaven. Where are we? On earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What do you want happening from heaven? Do it. Ask for it from the earth. That's how it works. We see that all through the Word of God. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, who are the prophets? Those are folks that rise up and give the word of the Lord. Those are those that speak and declare by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the prophets. Notice, God does nothing without first revealing it to his prophets. Why? Because it's through his prophets prophesying what he has revealed to them that causes him to do what he does. He didn't do anything until he reveals it to them and they start speaking. Thank God God's revealing things to us. We've got, number one, the prophetic word. This word, the word of God, has come by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have the prophetic word right here. And God has revealed his secrets to us, his mysteries. And we need to get in the mysteries, we need to get in the word, understand what the will of the Lord is, and begin to declare it out of our mouths. Begin to prophesy. Begin to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Take the inspiration word of God and speak it out by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then God can do something. Then God can change things. But notice, nothing gets done that's according to his will without first his prophets knowing about it and then speaking it out, doing something about it. Again, it starts on earth. Whatever's being spoken or done on earth is affecting heaven. It's moving heaven. We can be moving heaven. We have an illustration of it over in Genesis chapter 18, where God met with his friend of faith, Abraham. And God was getting ready to bring judgment on these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. God was looking to bring judgment. This great outcry was coming out against the cities. And so God came down to see what it was all about. But first, he stopped off at Abraham's house. And he said this in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" See, what did we just read in Amos 3:7? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret. Reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Abraham was a prophet. And now God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" He's revealing the secret to him. Why? Because he wants Abraham to do something about it. Because what Abraham says will affect what God does. Because Abraham has authority in this world. God was just visiting from another world. God was just visiting here. Abraham lived here. Abraham had authority here. So he stops by Abraham's house. And he says, "Shall I have you? What am I going to do?" And he begins to tell him about the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. "I'm going to go down there and see if it's all true or not, and I'll know if it is or not." And so he begins to reveal to Abraham that judgment is going to come on these cities, probably. So then Abraham immediately begins to intercede for those cities. He begins to intercede for those people. And as he's interceding, asking God if he would deliver the people, God's answering him, "Yeah, I'll deliver them. Would you deliver, if there was this many righteous in the city, would you deliver the city? Would you spare the city for the sake of those that were righteous?" And God says, "Yeah, I'll do it." See, he's interceding for him. And as a result of that, the place was so wicked, the only people that got out of there alive through Abraham's intercession was Abraham's own nephew. And his nephew Lot and Lot's daughters. They're the only ones that got out of there alive. That's a pretty wicked place. But it was his intercession that saved Lot's life. God wants us to intercede. God wants us to intercede for our nation. It's important for us by the Spirit to understand the seasons and the times and understand what's going on and what God is doing, to be able to identify wickedness in high places, to be able to identify evil in high places. Now, I'll just tell you this right now. If the information you're looking at to understand what is going on in government is coming out of the news media or out of the world made up of unsaved people, then you're probably not going to be really informed. But if you're spending time in the good news, if you're spending time in the light, basking in the presence of God, there's more of a chance you're going to have a better idea of what's really going on. Because there's a whole lot of lying and slander and things flying around out there. And people are regurgitating a lot of things that they're hearing. Then people are hearing all kinds of things, and it's being circulated all over the place, even in churches. And folks are just so full of confusion, and they can't even see right from wrong, even though it's right there in front of them. Can't see it. Can't see it. Because there's so much confusion and darkness in their life because they have filled their heads up so much with the noise of this world. Friend, we got to know how to pull back and get quiet before God. And not just embrace the opinions of men and then add to it our opinion. Well, let me tell you what I think about it. What I think about it. You know, you got all these commentators, all these commentaries. Well, what do you think? We've got this panel of thinkers. Now, Charlie said this. Let's talk about it for 2 days, about that statement he made, and figure out exactly what he was saying and what we think it really all means. You want to listen to that? I'd rather listen to some good preaching. I'd rather go to lofbc.org, hit the media page, and listen to some good preaching. I'd rather hear some good news than all that regurgitation of people's opinions. But you see, folks just fill themselves up and then, well, I don't know. Maybe. And they get it all into confusion. So we need to stay in the light, man. We need to withdraw from that mess and that noise and come back to God and let God show us the things we need to see, the things we need to know. I got news for you. God's word is current news. Current events are right here in the Word of God. It's current events. You get in there, and I'm telling you, it's amazing how God will take Scripture and make it current, applicable to what's taking place today. I've seen it so many times. It's just amazing. It was a couple times. I remember, you know, one time after those tsunamis took place over in Indonesia, and I hadn't followed it on the news. I just don't fill myself up with a lot of stuff. But you know, I looked a little into it, and I saw a video of the devastation. Here's this wave coming. You can just see people just getting pulled out under the. You know, they're all perishing. All these thousands of people are perishing. They're all dying. And you look and think, my God, how can something like this happen? I mean, it was just so horrific to look at. And then as soon as I turned that thing off, I went to my Bible. That's what I did. Went to my Bible, opened it up, and it opened up to the Psalms. And in the Psalms, I looked down, and it took me right to the Scripture that talked about how the earth will shake and the mountains will fall in the midst of the sea and the waves will roar. I mean, it described the creation of a tsunami. And it said, though the waves roar. And it was encouraging me and letting me know, in all those things, God's with you. Man, it brought such rest and peace. You know, you don't even realize how much just sitting there listening to that stuff will put fear in you. It just sows seeds of fear. You don't even realize it. You just walk away and go, oh, that's terrible. But what you really did is you sowed fear into your heart. And as soon as I went to the Word, God immediately started pulling that fear out through His Word. He immediately went right to that thing, right to that seed, and started tearing that thing out of me. Many times if something fearful happened in a person's lives, you know, when Jesus was walking the earth, first thing He would say to us is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Immediately would deal with that fear. So we got to watch. We got all this negative news being generated, and it is full of seeds of fear, whether you realize it or not. That's why we have to watch how much of that we take in and be sure we come over and wash in the Word of God and give God at least equal time. At least. He should get more. But at least give Him equal time to equalize what's been spoken into your heart. What's been put inside your head. Allow God the time to wash your heart, wash your mind, wash your soul from any kind of fear that would try to get in there and defile your life. Because if fear gets in your heart, next thing you know, you start speaking that fear. You know, people don't even realize, and they start yielding to it. They start speaking it, and they start speaking all this doubt, and they start speaking all this unbelief. And next thing you know, they talk themselves right into stuff and cause all kinds of problems for themselves. So we have to guard our heart, protect ourselves from that. Can you say amen? So God works through people. He wants to work through you. The more of us that he has yielding to him and cooperating with him, speaking the right things, the more he can get done in our nation and in the earth. The more he can get done. Ezekiel 22, in verse 30, the Lord said, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Notice, when God is seeking to turn things around, he looks for a person. He looks for someone who'll stand before him. Who will stand and make a wall. Build some kind of spiritual wall to protect the people. To protect the people of the land so that judgment and destruction doesn't come on them. Notice that when God wants to change things, he looks for someone. He says, "I looked for a man and I couldn't find anyone." Now think about that. Now that doesn't mean there weren't a lot of really zealous religious people that worshiped in their temples and synagogues. Oh, there was lots of people calling on God and appeared to be worshiping, but he couldn't find anyone that knew how to stand before him and talk right so that he could affect things in the earth. That's why you got to watch about just thinking, well, somebody else will get it covered. Somebody else will do it. You matter. Your voice matters. Don't just push it off on someone else. Your voice matters. You say, "But I feel so small and insignificant. How can my prayers really affect the election? How can my prayers affect a nation? How can my prayers affect the president of this country? How can me? It's not you. It's you in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's him. You got access to him. He's the one that'll change things. All you got to do is invoke his name. Speak his name over the situation, and he'll change it. He's more than able. He doesn't need a big, powerful human. He just needs a yielded human. He just needs a human that understands these things and knows how to pray right. They don't pray according to what they're hearing from men. They pray according to what they're hearing from God. They're praying according to the convictions of their heart, not their emotional feelings. So many, even Christians, are moved by their emotions and not by the Spirit of God. They're not following their heart. They're following their emotions. They're following their soul. They're speaking from their soul. They're not speaking from their spirit. They're not thinking from their spirit. We need to. God needs you. God needs your voice. God's looking for people today. Now notice, he says, "I'm looking for someone to stand before me and make a wall." What is this? What is this wall? Well, you go to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, in verse 6, the Lord says, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem." Talking about the city of Jerusalem. "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Until he makes this city a praise in the earth. till he makes this land something wonderful. He says, now you who make mention of the Lord, you who pray, you watchmen on the wall. He said, don't keep quiet. Don't keep silent. Speak. Speak before the Lord. Speak the word of God. Speak the truth. Because there's a lot of voices out there. Make sure the Lord's hearing your voice. And make sure your voice is in line with his word. Come on, somebody. This is how things get changed, folks. Things don't just happen. You know, stuff just happens. No, stuff doesn't just happen. People make decisions. People do things and cause things to happen. There's cause and effect. There's sowing and there's reaping. And God is showing us exactly what to sow, what to say, what to do, so we have the right effects. We have the right things take place. We reap the right harvest. Come on, are you going to do it? Yes. Praise God. So he says, I have set watchmen on your walls. Watchmen. What do watchmen do? They watch. And they make mention of the Lord. That sounds like praying, doesn't it? Jesus said over in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. He said, take heed, watch and pray. Watch and pray. If you watch and pray, you're a watchman. That's what a watchman is. It's a woman who watches and prays. And notice, he goes on, he says, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. There's things you do not know. You don't know everything that's going to happen. That's why you need to be watching and praying. Watching and praying. Watching for the Lord, listening to God, following him, and praying according to how he leads you. Not watching HBO and praying. Watching the word, watching the Lord, watching for him. Watching for him. Then you'll pray accurately. There's a lot of Christians out there praying. I wish they would be quiet. I wish they would just put a big, I wish I could just create a little zipper. Stop praying. Because they pray out of their emotions, they pray out of their flesh, and they're missing it. They're praying blessings upon things that shouldn't be being blessed. And then they're speaking against things that need to be being blessed. And they're ignorant. They're in the flesh. They haven't been watching the Lord. They haven't been diligent to watch the word. They've been watching everything else. And they're confused. And their voice, they have access just like you, into the very throne of God. Because they're saved. They know the name of Jesus. And they're up there speaking all kinds of things. We need to go up there and nullify that. Say, no, 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 no. And we need to speak in line with God's word. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Verse 34. It is like a man going to a far country. He gives us an illustration about this. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. So notice that. Watch and pray. And then he illustrates that by talking about giving authority to his servants. See, we have authority as God's servants in the name of Jesus when we watch and pray. We have authority to change things. We can affect how things go in our nation. In fact, I believe God will hold us accountable for what takes place in our generation. He'll hold the church accountable. He revealed that to a prophet by the name of Kenneth Hagin many years ago during the Nixon crisis. President Nixon, there was this big crisis that took place, brought a lot of shame to our nation, a lot of terrible things happened, and the Lord appeared to this great prophet and told him, he said, I'm holding the church responsible for what happened because it never would have happened if they prayed. If they were praying, it never would have happened. So I believe that's a lesson to learn for our generation. We need to understand that. God's going to hold us accountable. Day's going to come, we're going to stand before him. You're going to say, God, man, it was terrible down there. There was anarchy. It was chaos. It was terrible. The things, terrible things that happened, that President so-and-so did, and this one did, and that one did, and God's just going to look. And perhaps we'll find out that we were responsible for a lot of those things that happened, because if we had taken our place, we could have stopped it. We could have stopped it. I don't want to be in that place where I could have stopped something, but I didn't take my place. I was lazy. I was tired. I shrugged it off. I pushed it off on somebody else. I don't want to stand before the Lord and be held accountable for the messes that take place in this world. I want to make sure that I did everything I could, and I took my place, right? I took my place and did what I could to change things. Then all that blood won't be on our hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, watch and pray. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he says it again. He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So again, we got to be watching and praying, because there's a lot of things that would try to confuse us and cause us to be deceived and give in to temptation. All kinds of temptations of the devil. How are we going to avoid that? Huh? That's exactly right. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be a watchman. Be a watchman on the wall. Get in the Lord's face. Don't keep quiet. Speak up. Speak up. Speak up the way you want to see it come to pass in your personal life, the way you want to see it come to pass in your nation. Speak up, and don't become quiet. Don't stop talking until you see it established. You just keep speaking the same thing until you see it established in the earth, in your life. Glory to God, because we have exactly what we say. Now we got an incredible example of this with the prophet Daniel. Over in Daniel chapter 9, let's read verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. What's he talking about there? Well, Daniel here has been, him and his, the people of Israel were taken as captives from Israel to the land of Babylon. Babylonians had come in, they had burned down the walls of Jerusalem, plundered the city, killed a lot of people, and took a lot of people off into captivity. And so now 70 years has transpired, and Daniel's studying the scrolls. He's looking at the books, and he's looking at the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. He's looking at the writings of Jeremiah the prophet, and he's studying the word of God. And he sees in there that God spoke through Jeremiah that the Lord would accomplish 70 years of judgment, of desolation concerning Jerusalem. So he looks and he begins to think, wait a second, we're at the end of that point right now. Wait, this 70 years is done. We're done with judgment. We're done with being slaves to the Babylonians. We're done with tyranny. We're done with this. This is our time to come out. This is our time of freedom. He sees it in the scriptures. This is our time. The 70 years, it's expired. It's done. And what does he do? He sits back and just says, well, bless God, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. No. The Bible said when he saw this secret thing, when he saw the plan and purpose of God, when it was revealed to him through the scriptures, the Bible says he set his face to pray. And he got in there in the presence. He got before the Lord, and he did not hold his peace. He didn't become silent. He stayed in there for 21 days. Day after day, he ate no pleasant food. He was on a limited fast, And he was determined he would stay in there until he saw this promise fulfilled, until he saw it established. See, it doesn't just happen because God said it. We got to say it. We got to pray it. We got to believe it. God's looking for a man to take hold of his word. And that could be a woman. He's looking for somebody here on the earth to take hold of his word and stand in the gap and say, now, Lord, you promised, and I'm in faith about it. I'm in faith about what you promised here in the book of Jeremiah. I'm in faith about this, and I thank you. This is coming to pass, Lord. We're not going to spend another day in this condition anymore. No, it's time for this word to be established right now. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for establishing it in my life. I thank you for establishing it in the life of my countrymen. I thank you, Lord. And see, he stood before the Lord, and he would not be silent, and he stayed in there for 21 days. And then at the end of 21 days, the Bible says an angel came and appeared to him and told him that the first day that he set his heart to pray, that he, this angel, was released to enlighten Daniel concerning these things and to bring about this great deliverance. But the angel said there were these principalities and power, there were demonic forces that were withstanding him and trying to hinder him from coming, delaying him. Now we see right there, an example in the Word of God, an angel's telling him right there. He's saying, your answer has been delayed over 20 days because I was sent the first day you set your heart to pray, but it took this amount of time to get here because of the demonic strongholds in the earth that were hindering me. See, this is one of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered immediately. I mean, they get answered. Just like that angel, God answered it immediately. But yet we don't see the answer sometimes right away because there is demonic resistance in the earth. And people's talk can empower that demonic resistance. Or people's talk can empower angelic assistance. And that's why the angel went on to say, he said, I had no one to help me except Michael, your prince. Michael, the archangel he's talking about. He said, I had nobody else. The only one that came and helped me was Michael, your prince. In other words, your angel. No, but nobody else's angels were coming in and helping me because nobody else was giving voice to the word. The Bible says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, heeding the voice of his word. Angels heed the voice of God's word. But the only angel that was heeding was the angel sent from the throne and Michael, Daniel's angel. They were the only ones. So it took longer. That's why if we can get more people speaking and we can all get in one accord, man, we can open heaven. We can release lots and lots of angels, right? Release more of the power of God, a greater flow of the Holy Spirit, and things can happen even faster. Man, this stuff is real. This is so awesome. We need to understand how it all works and get in there and pray. Take our place like Daniel did and not get discouraged, not quit, not be moved by what we see. Say, no, 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 no. I know the will of God. I know the purpose of God. I know the plan of God. And I'm going to stand on the wall here and I'm going to see it established in my time, in my day, in my life, in my land, in my nation, in my government. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to see it. It's going to happen. It'll all come to pass. Can you say amen? Amen. That's how we stand up and we stand tall. We don't just begin to shrink back. Things don't look like they went right. And we begin to fall. Wow, I don't understand. I always pray. Stand up. Speak up. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Even when it looks like it's not going right, watch out. Stand your ground. Things can change. I said things can change quickly. God can move things. God can change things. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says that the Lord, he removes kings and raises up kings. Now, if you just look at that scripture, say he removes kings and raises up kings, you think, well, it's all on him. He does it all. Yeah, he does it, but he does it through. He does it through our praying. He does it through our believing. And then we've been given in this country the opportunity to go out and vote and make our voice heard in the voting booth. That's important. Faith without works is, it's dead. So we can't just say, well, I've spoken to God, but I'm not going to do anything down here. No, if God has given you the ability to affect things through voting, then you better vote. You got to take your responsibility. We cast our cares on them. We don't cast our responsibilities on them. So we got to get out there and do our part, right? We got to get out there and do our part. Well, how do we know how to vote? Well, we're going to vote in line with the Word of God. We're going to vote in line with godly values. And so when we look, and it really has gotten very easy today. Because we have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Most of the people in the Democratic Party and most of the people in the Republican Party, most of them, they all believe the same thing. They're all in line with their party's beliefs. So you can know what they believe. I don't care about their personality. I don't care about all these other things that the news media tries to make a big deal out of. Let's just look at what they believe. Let's look at the platform they stand on. What kind of policies do they stand behind and endorse? They might not even be a Christian. But if they stand behind the right things, then we need to get behind them. If they stand behind the wrong things, in other words, they stand behind things that are contrary to the Word of God and what God says is right, then we need to not stand behind that. So if you look at the two policies, if you go online, look at their websites, you can see what they generally believe. And you look and you say, okay, well, the Democratic Party, they believe in homosexual marriages. Okay? Republican Party, primarily, again, there's exceptions in there, but for the most part, when you look at what they believe, most stand behind homosexual marriage, and the Republican Party opposes that, generally speaking. They generally oppose that. Do you all know that? Okay. Let's see how much of a no-brainer this is. I understand that people have their own personal, traditional soul ties. But you're going to have to snap your soul ties. And you're going to have to come back and say, well, what does the Bible say and what do they believe? Okay, so you've got homosexuality and you have anti-homosexuality. What do you think God stands on that? I'll let you figure that out. Then we got the Democratic Party believes very strongly in abortion, the annihilation of human beings in their mother's womb. They believe in that. Republicans generally do not approve of that and do not want that. What do you think God wants? I'm going to let you answer it. Okay. One group believes that prayer in the name of Jesus is offensive. That's the Democratic Party believes. Prayer in the name of Jesus is offensive and should not be allowed in schools or in any public square. The Republican Party believes in prayer, primarily. They believe in prayer and they believe in praying. If you want to pray in the name of Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus. Which do you think God stands behind? I don't know. This is tough, Pastor. It's getting really tough. Can you just give us the answer? The Democratic Party supports the Johnson Amendment. Now, what is the Johnson Amendment? That's a provision in the U.S. tax code that prohibits all churches from endorsing or opposing political candidates. So in other words, a pastor cannot stand up in the pulpit and endorse any political candidate. He has to remain quiet. Stay out of that. Don't get up and do what you're doing this morning. Don't do that. That's illegal. You can lose your tax exemption status. And if you push it, we'll put you in jail. All right, that people believe in that. Now, on May 4th, 2017, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to end the Johnson Amendment. to defend freedom of religious speech. Well, I don't like Donald Trump. Okay, I like that the amendment is gone. I like those handcuffs off. I personally do. But that's me. That's me. What do you think Jesus likes? What do you think Jesus likes? I don't know. Democratic Party believes in higher taxation. They like that. They want higher taxation. It's not fair that some people should have more wealth than others. And the Republican Party primarily likes tax cuts. They want more. Democrats want more regulations, greater government control. Republican Party wants to lessen regulations, a little less government control. You know, in New York, they wanted to regulate the size of your Coca-Cola. Did you know that? You can't have a big gulp. You can't have a big gulp in New York. They took control of that. Democratic Party stands behind globalism, that all nations should submit to a one-world government. They push towards that. They believe that that's the way it should go. But the Republican Party primarily stands behind being a sovereign nation, all right, with borders that could make us an individual country. Democratic Party doesn't really believe in borders because, after all, our land is your land. It's very nice. Democrats believe that the military spending should be cut, which means you just cut military. You diminish the military. Republicans primarily believe that you should build up the military and be a strong country. Democratic Party believes that you do not have the right to bear arms. They'd like to remove that. Republican Party stands behind that you could defend yourself. Praise the Lord. Anybody packing this morning? So those are just a few things, you know. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'll let the Word of God tell you how to vote. You figure it out. I said you figure it out. Don't get all caught up in all the fluff, all the noise. So many noise. Trying to distract what it's really all about. It's these core beliefs. These are the core beliefs. I don't care if you don't like so-and-so's personality or this politician's personality or you don't like what they said or you think they're this and they're that because somebody said so. Let's just go by the facts and what they're doing and what they stand behind, and then let's vote accordingly. Because I just gave you the facts. All I did was just give you facts. That's all I did. So you take the facts, you mix them with the truth, and you know what to do. It's so easy. And so Gene said something to me yesterday. What did you say? You said, if people would just do the Bible, if they would just... Oh, it was a Brother Hagin quote. I thought you originated it.
Just follow the Bible, it would solve all of our problems.
If we would just follow the Bible, it would solve all our problems. Well, don't get any more simple than that, right? So simple, people stumble over it. I'm not going to stumble over it anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.